Welcome to This Week in Obstetrics and Gynecology. This week, we're covering 9 notable papers spanning maternal-fetal interventions, intrapartum safety protocols, and evolving strategies in gynecologic surgery and reproductive medicine. Let's dive in. We begin in the field of maternal-fetal medicine, where several new publications are changing how we assess and manage high-risk pregnancies. First, a landmark first-in-human study. Non-invasive method for reversing fetoscopic endoluminal tracheal occlusion, or FETO, in cases of severe congenital diaphragmatic hernia. Traditionally, FETO requires a second invasive in utero procedure to remove or puncture the balloon and restore the fetal airway. This phase 1, open-label trial conducted in France and Belgium, evaluated the SMART2 tracheal occlusion balloon, which is designed to spontaneously deflate when exposed to the magnetic field of a standard magnetic resonance imaging machine. Out of 48 enrolled patients, the device was successfully placed in 46 fetuses at a median gestational age of 29 weeks. Magnetic resonance imaging-induced deflation was attempted at 34 weeks, achieving a 100% deflation rate. At birth, the empty balloon was safely outside the airways in all infants. While there were 2 cases of tracheomalacia among survivors, both resolved before discharge. This represents a major clinical leap forward, completely eliminating the risks associated with a second invasive prenatal intervention. Next, we look at monochorionic twin pregnancies, where single fetal demise poses a severe threat to the surviving twin. A multi-center retrospective study in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology investigated the specific placental angioarchitecture associated with severe brain injury in the survivor. Looking at 75 dye-injected placentas, researchers found that severe brain injury occurred in 25% of these pregnancies. The injury was strongly associated with the presence, number, and larger diameter of both arterio-arterial and veno-venous anastomoses, as well as discordant umbilical cord insertions. Specifically, the presence of veno-venous anastomoses more than tripled the odds of severe brain injury, with an odds ratio of 3.47. While the subgroup analysis restricted only to survivors of single fetal demise did not reach statistical significance due to limited power, these findings highlight the critical role of larger, low-resistance vascular connections in facilitating acute, life-threatening exsanguination into the deceased co-twin's circulation. Rounding out our maternal-fetal section is a critical vaccine safety study. Researchers conducted a target trial emulation study using the Vaccine Safety Data Link database to evaluate the bivalent respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, vaccine during pregnancy. Comparing nearly 14,000 vaccinated pregnant individuals with matched unvaccinated controls, the study found no significant differences in the rates of preterm birth, stillbirth, or small for gestational age birth weight. However, there was a small but statistically significant increase in hypertensive disorders of pregnancy among vaccinated individuals, with a rate of 17.3% compared to 15% in the unvaccinated cohort. This represents an adjusted risk ratio of 1.13. Despite this slight increase, the overall safety profile remains highly favorable, providing reassuring data for clinicians counseling patients during respiratory virus season. Moving to intrapartum and postpartum care, a major quality improvement study in obstetrics and gynecology evaluated a practical strategy to combat postpartum hemorrhage. Researchers compared a high-dose oxytocin protocol, consisting of 60 units administered over 1 hour during the third stage of labor, against their historical standard of 30 units over 1 hour followed by a maintenance infusion. Analyzing over 2,600 births, the high-dose protocol was associated with a significant reduction in postpartum hemorrhage, defined as a quantitative blood loss of 1,000 milliliters or more, dropping the rate from 14.3% to 11.2%. Interestingly, this benefit was entirely driven by patients undergoing vaginal deliveries, who experienced a 40% relative reduction in hemorrhage risk. No significant reduction was observed among patients undergoing cesarean deliveries. This simple, highly translatable protocol change offers an effective, low-cost intervention for labor units seeking to optimize maternal safety. In a related effort to improve postpartum management, a clinical commentary in Obstetrics and Gynecology highlights the ongoing shift in postpartum care, urging a transition from immediate, poorly tolerated oral glucose tolerance testing to more innovative, patient-centered screening strategies for individuals with a history of gestational diabetes. In reproductive medicine and gynecologic surgery, two papers highlight the need to reevaluate long-standing clinical practices. First, a large retrospective study in human reproduction challenges the routine practice of discarding mononuclear or one-pronuclear embryos during in vitro fertilization. Analyzing over 13,000 mononuclear embryos, researchers found a stark difference based on the fertilization method. Mononuclear blastocysts derived from standard in vitro fertilization demonstrated normal biparental inheritance in nearly 97% of cases, with aneuploidy rates comparable to standard 2-pronuclear embryos. In contrast, those derived from intracytoplasmic sperm injection, or ICSI, had biparental inheritance in only about 66% of cases and carried significantly higher aneuploidy rates. Crucially, when euploid biparental mononuclear embryos were transferred, their clinical pregnancy, live birth, and neonatal outcomes were identical to those of standard embryos. Given that a mononuclear embryo was the sole option available in approximately 1 in 6 cycles, these findings strongly support updating clinical guidelines to utilize pre-implantation genetic testing rather than automatically discarding these viable embryos. Next, we address surgical decision-making in high-risk patients. A mixed-method study in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology examined international trends in performing a concurrent hysterectomy at the time of risk-reducing salpingo-oophorectomy in BRCA1 and 2 mutation carriers. The quantitative analysis of over 2,000 patients revealed massive regional variation. A concurrent hysterectomy was performed in nearly half of patients in North and South America, compared to 14% in Australia and fewer than 3% in Europe. Qualitative interviews with 23 healthcare providers across 12 countries revealed that this variation is driven by differing interpretations of endometrial cancer risk, cultural differences, and a lack of clear international consensus guidelines. Clinicians also continue to evaluate optimal postoperative strategies for other gynecologic malignancies, such as the survival benefit of adjuvant chemotherapy in patients with cytology-negative, non-myoinvasive stage 1C clear cell endometrial cancer, as explored in a Japanese-led study in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. Finally, we look at the broader environment. A clinical consensus document in Obstetrics and Gynecology outlines the profound impacts of climate change on obstetric and gynecologic health. Extreme heat, wildfire smoke, and air pollution are directly associated with elevated risks of early pregnancy loss, preterm birth, preeclampsia, hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, and stillbirth. The document emphasizes that climate change disproportionately affects marginalized groups and amplifies gender-based disparities. Obstetrician gynecologists are urged to integrate environmental health education into all pre-pregnancy counseling visits and advocate for climate change education in medical school curricula to prepare the next generation of healthcare providers. If you only have time for one paper this week, make it the Quality Improvement Study on High-Dose Oxytocin from Obstetrics and Gynecology. This simple, highly translatable protocol change of administering 60 units of oxytocin over 1 hour significantly reduced postpartum hemorrhage rates in vaginal deliveries, offering a highly practical and immediate way to improve maternal safety in any labor and delivery unit. Here are the key takeaways from this week in obstetrics and gynecology. First, a high-dose oxytocin protocol of 60 units over 1 hour during the third stage of labor significantly reduces postpartum hemorrhage in vaginal deliveries, but shows no significant benefit in cesarean deliveries. Second, the non-invasive, magnetically deflated smart tracheal occlusion balloon is a safe and highly effective advancement for fetal congenital diaphragmatic hernia, successfully eliminating the need for a second in-utero surgery. Third, mononuclear embryos derived from standard in vitro fertilization have high rates of normal biparental inheritance and comparable pregnancy outcomes to normal embryos, suggesting they should undergo genetic testing rather than being routinely discarded. Fourth, prenatal vaccination with the bivalent RSV pre-F vaccine shows a reassuring safety profile with no increased risk of preterm birth or stillbirth, though clinicians should note a small, statistically significant increase in hypertensive disorders of pregnancy. Fifth, concurrent hysterectomy during risk-reducing salpingo-oophorectomy for BRCA carriers varies wildly by region, reflecting a critical clinical need for standardized international guidelines. That's your roundup for this week in Obstetrics and Gynecology. The full transcript and references are available on the episode page in your Audio Scholar library. This is an AI-curated summary. For clinical decisions, always consult primary sources and current guidelines. See you next week. If this weekly briefing is useful, follow the show in your podcast app so new episodes arrive automatically. And for audio briefings on your own clinical questions and papers, visit audioscholar.cc. This is an automated summary generated by artificial intelligence, which can make mistakes. Always review the original source materials.